Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you are listening to the M Squared TechCast. We are proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
In fact, we have one of the founders here, one of the founding fathers, Bob Altenspiel.
Greetings, gentlemen.
He is twiddling our knobs today.
Well, unfortunately, Jessica is out, yes, because of a funeral. Our best to Jessica. Hopefully, we'll have her back next week.
Yeah, our condolences to the to Jessica and her family on a loss in the family. But we've got a great show for you here today. We've got a lot of stuff about high-tech, small business entrepreneurship. But we're going to start out with a little bit on higher ed and STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
And they've even added A to it, arts.
Yes.
So now it's STEAM in some cases.
Yeah, that's right. And they've done that at Lawrence Tech, too. We have with us today Sabrina Collins. She is the initial founding executive director of a new institution, a new program at Lawrence Tech called the Marburger STEM Center. It is connected with the university, and it basically aims to promote STEM education and careers at all levels, from kindergarten through college. Sabrina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the Marburger STEM Center. What is it, and what's the purpose?
Well, it's thank you for having me. The Marburger STEM Center, and it is a gorgeous, breathtaking facility on LTU's campus, is really the home of all of the STEM and STEAM programs that we have on campus. You know, central to our work at the center is exposing young people to these to the STEM fields, getting them excited and getting them to see how STEM shapes their everyday experiences. For example, cell phones and laptops are common products that young people are excited about, and those are STEM products, and teaching these subjects in really exciting and interesting ways. So that's essentially what the Marburger STEM Center is about.
Okay. So what? Tell us about some of the programs Lawrence Tech now has to boost STEM outreach at the K-12 level.
Well, one of the programs, which has been a staple, is the LTU summer camps. We offer over 30 summer camps, which are taught by our faculty. So you're talking about game art, you're talking forensics, a new summer camp that's been offered, that will be offered this summer, Molecules in Medicine. College of Management has a new summer camp focused on entrepreneurship and business. And these summer camps are targeted towards high school students. We also have RoboFest, which many of you are probably aware of. So it's an international outreach program, which is a robotics competition. And since, I believe since 1999, we've had over 20,000 student participants in the RoboFest competition. And in addition to that, we also have something called Extreme Science Saturdays, which is also targeted towards high school students. And so basically, students get the opportunity to engage in some fun hands-on activities led by a faculty member. And the last session of Extreme Science Saturdays focused on virtual reality, and the students had a wonderful time with that type of program. So those are just some examples of the current programs that we have taking place to attract the to do outreach at the K-12 level.
All right. So what new efforts are you looking at adding going forward?
Well, we have some ideas. And so one particular idea that we're exploring is developing a STEM ambassadors program, where basically our students can actually go into the classrooms and work with teachers. So that's a way to really impact our partner institutions as well. So that's one example of a program we're working on. We're currently exploring that as well. One other program that we recently developed also is a Marburger STEM seminar series, where it's a way to celebrate our previous president, Dr. Richard Marburger, celebrate his legacy, but also it's a platform to have guest lecturers from academia, industry, government, and business, focusing on STEM education and also cutting edge STEM research.
Hmm. So tell me a little bit about the programs you're looking at to target, I guess you could call them underrepresented populations in the STEM fields, women and, you know, people of color. I know Lawrence Tech is happy that we're 25% female enrollment, but that's still not where we want it to be. It's a lot better than it used to be. I talked at homecoming to a woman who went to Lawrence Tech in the 70s, and she said it used to be 80-1. Men to women.
Wow.
Yeah, but so we're doing a little better than that now. But how are we reaching out to some of these populations?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you know, we could answer it this way. You know, it's really saying, are we really harnessing all the STEM talent that we have available to us? Do we have the greatest STEM minds sitting at the table? And I would say no. We recently established a new partnership with the Detroit Public Schools entitled the Blue Devil Scholars Program to enhance the STEAM curriculum in DPS classrooms. And basically, when students graduate from high school, they'll graduate with a high school diploma and also a STEAM certificate representing 12 to 15 college credit hours that they can use at LTU with scholarship support. Hmm. And the program also includes a component that supports teachers and parents. So with the teachers, teachers have an opportunity to participate in professional development workshops, specifically getting some hands-on experience, learning, getting experience with active collaborative learning, project-based learning, and they can earn continuing education credits. And with the parents, we want to engage them as well on basically financial literacy and actually what it takes to have a successful career in a STEAM discipline. And so, because, you know, recent statistics from the National Science Foundation indicate that African Americans represent 5% of the STEM workforce and Hispanic represent 6%. And that's not reflective of our changing demographics in the United States.
So this is Mike Brennan. I'm going to leap in here. We were just talking before we went on air, and I was surprised to hear you already signing up people for next summer. Here we are. Not even November yet, right? So very popular program. Talk a little bit about that. If parents or the young people want to get involved in this, how do they do that?
They can visit us at www.ltu.edu. And, yes, we are signed. So we have the application process all going on the website. So you can register online, or you can mail in your application so they can find information there as well. And as I indicated, we have over 30 summer camps, so it's a variety of different opportunities. One other that I forgot to mention is, for example, transportation as well, industrial design, those kinds of things. So any topic you can think of, we have opportunities for students that are excited about these kinds of topics.
And roughly what's the cost of the camps?
Roughly it varies. So you can say depending on about anywhere from $650, that's about the average cost, about $600 for a week as well.
And
somewhere around
$650. Is that live on campus or is that commute?
So that's both. So you have the opportunity. It costs more to live on campus. It's less if you commute.
But you do have the opportunity to check out what college life is like a little bit with the residential camps.
So we want this to be a full, fun experience for the students. So they get a chance to live in the dorm rooms, meet new people. They can visit the various new buildings and actually sit in the classroom. So this is a really, really hands-on experience for students to get the experience of what it's like to be a college student.
Right, and I understand also there are scholarships available if the funding is a problem, right?
Exactly. We do offer discounts as well.
Hey, I have a question for you. I'm sure you're aware the Michigan Science Center has that STEMinista program for, I think it's middle school girls who are involved or want to get involved in STEAM. Have you guys coordinated through them at all?
Actually, prior to coming to Lawrence Tech, I was director of education at the Charles H. Wright Museum, and that's how. So, Charles H. Wright Museum is right next door. So I became, the Wright Museum became involved working with the Michigan Science Center, and I was one of the featured STEMinistas on the website months ago. But yes, we are in conversations. I certainly want to consider some potential collaborations with the Michigan Science Center.
We've just got a couple of minutes left. I did want to give you a chance to tell a little bit about your story, how you got involved in science yourself, because you are an accomplished chemist, if I remember correctly, inorganic chemistry?
Inorganic chemistry, that's correct.
Okay.
I actually began my college career in community college at Highland Park Community College, which is now closed in Highland Park, Michigan. But my mother, Nancy, was working as a secretary in the nursing department, so I was able to take advantage of the tuition assistance program. And I enrolled in a chemistry course for non-science majors, and I thought it was really easy. So I said, if this is all there is to chemistry, I'll just be a chemist. And the classes got harder, but I stuck with it. So I'm a proud nerd. I love dimensional analysis, unit conversions, those sorts of things. Earned my BA in chemistry from Wayne State, and then I enrolled at The Ohio State University.
We can't say that on air, though. So,
well, you know what?
Mike is a graduate of Michigan, so that's...
I have family members that are still very angry with me about making that choice.
I'll bet.
And they won't even say the name. They will refer to it as that school.
That's it, yes. And there's, I could tell you other names, but I won't.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I appreciate that. So, but I love the Big Ten. I absolutely love the Big Ten, and I love Michigan.
All right, so one more time, if people want more information on those summer camps, we have a little less than a minute left.
So visit us at www.ltu.edu.
All right, and there's information on the summer camps there. I want to thank Sabrina Collins, director of the Marburger STEM Center at Lawrence Tech, for being our first guest today. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast on PodcastDetroit.com. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast.
Aren't they all, though?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, they go by
asking
fast.
Asking you which of your children you like best.
Yes, the fastest hour in internet radio. And we have on the line, calling in from Grand Rapids, a regular, Keith Brophy, who's the state director of the, I'm going to get it right this time, I always get it wrong, Michigan Small Business Development Center, right?
Woo! All right.
Hello there, Mike. Yes, that's right on.
Okay. I always want to throw in that T. I know you lost that T a few years ago. So anyway, you're going to be talking about a company. I think it's called HiGenius. Is that right?
HiGenius.
Okay, sorry. Got it wrong. All right. So why don't you go ahead and take it over, Keith, and tell us all about it.
Great. Thank you. And I have with me today Rob Kosnick, the CEO of HiGenius. And This is a company focused at improving health in a very interesting way. And I'm going to go straight to the expert and ask Rob to kick us off and explain a little bit about the focus. Rob, do you want to tell us about the business and where the motivation for the business came from?
Oh, I'd be glad to, guys. We started this company with the intention of improving the healthcare of actually the worldwide community, trying to reduce things like healthcare acquired infections by reducing the amount of bioburden on hands, surfaces, and textiles, using the latest technologies that were available in order to do that as a full service, full complement product set. We started off actually using other people's products, subsets, derivatives of a interesting invention that came out of Dow Chemical, and since learned that since these other products had some deficiencies, we developed our own full product set. So we have technologies that literally protect against bacteria, kill germs, mold, mildew, viruses on your hands for hours with a single application, on surfaces for months with a single application, and on textiles for 30 to 60 wash cycles with a single application. Huh. And when you apply these three technologies in conjunction with one another, you certainly will reduce the bacteria and bioburden, thereby significantly reducing the opportunity for the transference of germs from person to person. So, and we started off trying to focus exclusively in the healthcare market, but really our market is much broader than that. We realize that corporations, schools, everyone, the general public is interested in keeping itself healthier for longer periods of time with technologies that work better and cost less. That's who we are.
Well, I know the company's been widely acclaimed in its evolution and that you've received a small company innovation program grant in the past. Can you tell us how did that program grant help you and where are you today in terms of market and how broad is your market reach today?
We were very pleased. We've been working on and off. I actually worked for a while in the OU Business Incubator before we started this company, and that's where my business partner and I met. And so I have been aware of some of the programs that are out there. Once we started our company, we found out about the MEDC, the Small Company Innovation Program, applied for a grant and got a 50-50 grant from them. We've used that money at the University of Michigan School of Public Health to really do some fantastic science and engineering and product validation. As a matter of fact, I was just on the phone with a lead a PhD, I'll call him clinician for our program, and the science that he's coming up with are the results that he's getting by testing our technologies has been phenomenal in terms of its ability to kill not only on contact but kill for long periods of time. So we've got now what's really interesting in the science community and what's important is to be able to have peer-reviewed publications about our science. And we had some real early work done at the Henry Ford Hospital in the infectious disease lab there. We carried that over to the head of the infectious disease lab there at Henry Ford, is now at the Oakland University School of Medicine, and he's working with us. But that's the kind of science that University of Michigan is also doing. They are in the process of publishing, answering questions for publication in the Letters of Applied Microbiology, which is always very important in the science community to have peer-reviewed publications. So we are convinced it's not if, but when technologies like ours are going to really lead the way in terms of helping reduce bioburden and infection rates. Especially now with some of the antibiotic resistant strains that are out there. One of every three of us is a MRSA carrier, the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. That's one out of every three of us. That, if all three of you gentlemen are in the studio together, one of you is a MRSA carrier.
We're going to have to stop you right there and ask you, what is that? So I don't even know what that is.
That's the antibiotic-resistant staph infection.
Is that what it is?
That's been found in high school gyms and places like that.
Thank you.
Now, it doesn't make everybody sick. You can have it and not know you have it.
I'm glad you're across the table from me, Matt. That's all I can say. So.
Yes, to put it in those terms, one of every three of us. That is a...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was like, that was a term I was not familiar with. So.
Well, they call it, a lot of times they call it MRSA or MRSA, or those are the really bad bugs. You know, it's due primarily to application of antibiotics, right? The overuse and misuse of antibiotics. That's what's helped creating these strains. That's the other beauty of our technology. We're a very broad spectrum, non-selective. We are an equal opportunity killer for bacteria and bioburden. So we don't really care whether you're antibiotic resistant or just the common cold. We go after it and literally kill it dead. So
I think that'd be a heck of a tagline. I can already see the promotion campaign, equal opportunity killer. So
so it does this without you know, disrupting just regular cells, the stuff that we're all made of. I mean, how does it target just the bad guys?
Well, you have to think about cells in a little different way. You have to think of bacteria different than cells, if you will, right? So right. I always, and people sometimes don't appreciate my example of, I like to think of our technology as literally being applied to the surface of whatever comes in contact with it, covalently bonds, which means it becomes permanently part of that surface. And think of it as barbed wire or shards of glass, or think of it as astroturf, microscopic levels of astroturf, and bacteria, mold, mildew, viruses as soap bubbles landing on that surface. If you know what happens when soap bubbles land on that kind of surface, they explode. Our stuff literally pierces the outside of the membrane and releases the RNA, so the germs cannot genetically adapt. That's a very, very important differentiation between our technology and some of the others that are out there.
Hey, let me leap in here. I'm probably the one that knows the least amount about this, but maybe I represent the audience. There's a lot of antibacterial this and that, soaps and things like that. Does that contribute to this in any way?
Well, it's funny because it was only about 3 weeks ago where the FDA came out very strongly against antibacterial kinds of soaps and hand washers.
Huh.
And he listed very specific active ingredients that are absolute no-nos and are being forced off the market. Huh. Our technology never incorporated any of those technologies. Ours has proven to be safe. And so we were very pleased to see some of the, I'm just going to call them genetically... the products that are genetically resistant or can produce genetically resistant germs and mold and mildew and viruses. So we're very pleased to be on the leading edge of this.
Huh. Go ahead, Keith. Rob, I keep interrupting. Go ahead.
Rob, can you share with us a piece of advice for other entrepreneurs? You've come up with a product with a great demand, it sounds like. What is your biggest lesson learned along the way of building this company up?
I think I understood your question because you're a little muffled. Did you want some insight into how hard it is to be an entrepreneur?
Can tell you
what
all
is
about
your biggest
myself.
Lesson learned?
Yeah, if I was going to encourage somebody to be an entrepreneur, one of the things that they've got to have is persistence. You know, you've got to work 24 hours a day. You've got to put your heart and soul into it. You can't, and you just plain old can't stop. It's even if you've got the best idea, that doesn't mean that the market is ready for you. And even when all of the arrows are pointing in the right direction, it still takes time for market acceptance. I will tell you, back in 2010, which is not long after we started the company, Medicare and Medicaid stopped reimbursing hospitals for hospital-acquired infections. Well, I thought we were going to be on Easy Street, because now there's a financial burden that hospitals have to carry. If you go to a hospital, you get discharged, and within 3 days, you come down with some sort of disease that you contracted from that hospital. The hospital's responsible for fixing you. And back in 2010, that was a $25,275 bill on average. Now it's $43,000 per incident.
Wow.
And oh, by the way, 5% of the people who go to a hospital, now it's 4% of the people who go to a hospital get a hospital-acquired infection, and 5% of those people die. So if people aren't using our technology, hospitals aren't using our technology, they're not doing everything they can do in order to protect their public and their clients.
All right, we've got to break it off here. We've reached the end of the segment. Keith, why don't you have your guest give us the website of Hygenesis?
Absolutely. Great. Robin, you want to share the website?
I'd be glad to. Find us on the www.hygenesis, that's H-Y-G-E-N-E-S-I-S, .com. And, of course, we're available on Amazon. Or if you want, just call me directly. And, we have resellers around the country who sell our product. But, we like to promote our technology because it really is leadership.
All right, Keith, we'll have you on next time to talk about nominations for Michigan Celebrate Small Business. We couldn't get to that today, but we will get to it next time. Thanks to Keith Brophy for another interesting segment. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
I'll go.
Okay.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and we are professional broadcasters.
Yeah, we do this for a living.
Yeah, okay. And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast, the only internet radio program you're listening to right now.
I always love his logic, you know. It's crystal clear. So we have on the show, well, we actually have a replacement on the show, Rachel Downs, who had been doing the M-Forum segment for, gosh, I don't know, 6 months or so. And we now have Timber Dawn Shea. I just love that name. Anyway, so she is, I don't have your title down right. Give us Timber.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. I am the Engage Program Director at Inforum.
Okay, that's the title. All right.
Yep. And what is Engage in 30 seconds or less? No, take as much time as you need.
Absolutely. No, Engage is actually our strategy to really help promote the entrepreneurial community. In many ways, we work with brand new entrepreneurs, with ideation and market segment. We're going to talk to Tatiana Grant today from Flash Delivery, who is part of our Engage Masterclass, which is actually where we work with emerging second-stage entrepreneurs in kind of a peer-to-peer facilitated founders forum. And then we also work with angel investors across the strait with role models, women role models, kind of elevate their stories and help accelerate their progress, and then getting them back, you know, full circle to help invest in other women through the angel investment community.
Okay.
So welcome, Tatiana.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I was getting briefed. I think you were in here, too, when she was talking about what you're doing. And I'm very fascinated. It seems like you're like the Uber or Lyft for groceries or something like that.
Yes, absolutely. We are actually restaurant and grocery delivery service in the Metro Detroit area.
Wow.
So that is actually our exact business model. We utilize independent contractors just as they do, and our drivers get dispatched as the orders come in. So it's very similar.
Wow.
And is it the same sort of thing as Uber where you can sort of set your own schedule about when you want to be a driver, if you are a driver for flash delivery?
It is, but it's a bit of a modified version. Uber has a lot more capital than we do, so just a couple more $1 million,
yeah,
or tens of millions. So basically, our drivers do let us know when they're available. However, it's days in advance, and that's how we do the scheduling, as opposed to right then and there, like it is on Uber. You can turn it on and off, you know, right at the minute. So from that regard, no, they let us know a couple days ahead of time.
Okay, well, that's still a reasonable way to run your own small business if you feel like being a delivery driver.
All right, Timber, dig into that business model. Everybody's going, okay, so how do I get involved in this?
Exactly. And I know for a fact that Tatiana is actually looking for some really good help right now with some expansion. Why don't you tell us about the expansion you've experienced this past year?
Yes. So for the past 2 years, we have been strictly in a 5-mile radius of the Detroit area. So Midtown, Downtown, Corktown, Riverfront, Indian Village. However, based on the demand and the growth of Detroit and, you know, our customer base, everyone's like, hey, we need you in this neighborhood. We need you in that neighborhood. So starting next month, we will actually be in the Ferndale University District, Palmer District, like North Detroit. However, we have just negotiated a pretty nice contract with a national chain, so we'll be announcing that once we finally get the contract back. But that will bring us into Royal Oak, probably mid-November. And then we haven't formally announced it, but we will be starting to do deliveries for Eastern Market this winter.
So you're moving up the Woodward corridor then? Is that what's going on?
Yes, we're moving up Woodward, and then we are selecting how far west we're going to go, but we're looking at Canton, Northville kind of areas.
Wow, out there. Yeah. When you come to Ann Arbor, let me know. That sounds like, you know, I'm lazy sometimes, don't want to go anywhere. So.
Yeah.
We will certainly let you know.
All right. Yep, I'm in Dearborn. Same for me. Thank you very much. Yeah,
okay.
That's but that's it. You know, how do people order what they want delivered?
So we have a mobile app, which is in Android and Apple stores. If they search for flash delivery, the last I checked, we are right underneath Domino's Pizza.
Whoa, that's a good spot.
Thank you. And then we have a website, www.flashdeliveryandthenmi.com.
Okay.
And we have a telephone number, 313-784-9495.
All right. And so people would go on there
Yes.
Sort of select
exactly
the store and the foodstuffs or
yes.
You know, whatever.
They would basically, once they put in their address or their zip code, they will see all the restaurants that are available. Once they click on the restaurant, the full menu will pop up, and they can literally click and customize and do all that good stuff. They can leave a driver tip. They can pay cash, whatever the case may be, check out. And the food arrives 45 to 60 minutes. For regular food orders, if it's a large catering order, it normally takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on the restaurant.
Hmm. Which is great. So what was your motive? How did you get the idea to even start this company?
So I actually was being kind of lazy. It was now probably 3 or 4 years ago. I was at my best friend's mom's house, and I wanted some Zumba, like the taco place down the street. I wanted Zumba, and I kept calling, and no one was answering the phone. And after about an hour, I remember saying, I just want someone to deliver me some tacos. And the light bulb clicked on that night, and I stayed up until about 4 o'clock that morning Googling restaurant delivery across the nation, and I started emailing, like, the info ad and the contact, asking the people who own the companies, could I have 20 minutes of their time to kind of learn a little bit about the business. And after enough of that for a couple of weeks, I realized this is something we can make happen.
That's great. Since we are on the M Squared TechCast, what technology do you find is the most helpful to your business?
So, really, honestly, I would say just having smartphones. We find that 85% of our business comes from actually just people surfing on their phones, on their actual mobile devices. We have about 5% that come in through the mobile app. And then about 10%, I think because we are in downtown and we work with a lot of administrative assistants and things of that sort, who still will call and place their order over the phone. But it's insane how crazy mobile is. So starting next month, we've done a lot of integrations. So we've customized the system. So if a customer hasn't ordered in more than like 22 days, they can get an SMS text or an automatic email with an offer and things of that sort. Because that's what we're finding more and more, that just the phones as a whole is bringing in so many more sales than it would in some of these less cost-effective ways of marketing. And, of course, you know, retention and getting those customers to repeat business over and over again is a better use of your time than going out and acquiring new customers, and we're finding
that. First rule of entrepreneurship, yes. It's much easier to keep a customer than to get a customer.
Absolutely.
But you have the holy grail of marketing when you get their cell phone number, because then you can text them, and hardly anybody will surrender their cell phone number because they know what you want to do with it.
Exactly. And for us, we have it because the drivers have to call to let them know when their food is there.
So you got them. Yeah, good.
Thank you.
So, Tatiana, with going forward and all this new business you have and all this expansion that's coming out into the suburbs and metropolitan Detroit, what is the biggest thing that we could do to help your business now? Are you looking for drivers? Are you looking for dispatchers?
We are absolutely looking for drivers. We just started doing interviews last Friday because as we expand to these new markets, that we need three things for our ecosystem. One is to be able to have food service providers, so those are the restaurants. Next are drivers, and third are customers. So from that perspective, just helping us by spreading the word, whether it's letting someone know that this company is even available, if it's letting someone know, hey, they're hiring, let your kid, your cousin, your whoever know, I would say those are the two main forms of where we're looking right now.
What are you looking for in a driver? What would it take to apply and become a delivery driver for Flash Delivery?
Yes, a valid driver's license and insurance are number one key. And really someone who, what we really look for are people who are forward thinkers, because when it's all said and done, they are representing our company. They're the ones going to the places of business. And so, you know, if when it comes to customer service, they need to be able to think ahead and say, okay, it's going to take me a little longer to get here. I need to call the customer and let them know I'm two blocks away instead of waiting for the customer to call us asking us where their food is. So we're constantly looking for people that are entrepreneurial. You know, we have drivers now that will see a new restaurant's coming or is under construction and will go in there and get us a business card or a manager's name and say, hey, I see this place is opening up. You should give them a call. So people that are entrepreneurial who are willing to grind and grow with us. From a training perspective, we do about 3-4 days of training where we teach them kind of the delivery side of things, but we're really looking for people that are like-minded and are looking to grow with the company.
So, and the drivers are allowed to sample the food on the way there, right? Make sure that it's of the highest quality, right? So, because Bob was, his eyes were lighting up over there.
During training, we actually bring in the food from the restaurants that we partner. So that's the opportunity to test out the food, not while they're doing deliveries.
Okay. So if you're licking your fingers when you deliver it, it's probably a bad thing, right?
Oh, so, my gosh. Yeah, and the food smells so good in your car. Trust me, I do deliveries when we get into my car smells amazing. Oh. Thai and Buffalo Wild Wings smell really great.
So she won't do it, but I'll give her a plug. So what did Engage, what did that program do for you? How did that get you on track?
Engage has been so helpful. One, from a moral and mental standpoint, it brings together like-minded women who all have similar and even different challenges. But it really brings us all together and allows us to have kind of a think tank as well as a support group. And then further than that, when you do have a need, you can go to them and ask and say, hey, I'm hitting this roadblock. Who do you know? What can you do? And they will certainly do everything they can to open up a door.
Take it away. That was a, you know, a nice segue for you.
That
there.
Was terrific, Tatiana. Thank you so much. So at Inforum, we are currently recruiting for our next cohort of entrepreneurs for the masterclass. They're emerging second stage entrepreneurs, and you can pick up that application online at www.inforummichigan.org. All spelled out, two M's back to back. And the class, the next cohort of Engage Masterclass will actually launch on January 20th, 2017 in Metro Detroit.
Well, let's talk a bit about costs and things like that. You know, there's some cost, but I can't remember what it is.
There is a cost to it. The program is actually $1,500, but we are very fortunate to have some funding from the MEDC and the New Economy Initiative that helps us supplement that, and scholarships are available for the program.
Because I think our next caller coming in, Amanda Luano, I think is standing by, also is a graduate of that program, right?
She and I were in the same program, yes. Amanda and I, we were friends beforehand, but after this, we're like co-founding sisters because we've been through a lot.
Co-founding sisters, I love that. So, all right, we've got about 30 seconds left, and then we'll go to break, and then we're going to bring in Amanda, and you both are invited to stick around, give her a hard time. We encourage that. So this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechEd, a proud member of the Podcast Detroit Network.
It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Our final segment today, we have calling in on the line longtime friend, a longtime friend of the show, and a great example of youthful entrepreneurism in the Detroit area. It's Amanda Luan. Amanda, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about what's new with your various activities. I guess we could start with Bamboo Detroit.
Bamboo on Washington. Yes.
Yeah. So we are officially opening our new location downtown, and it's going to have a lot more private options. So team offices for startups who are starting to grow and dedicated desks. It's going to be 6,000 square feet inside the Julian C. Madison building at 1420 Washington.
Ooh, okay. So that's your second location now?
Yep. So we've been growing out of our Brush Street location and been looking at ways to expand. And we got a Motor City Match grant earlier this year. Mostly a lot of our teams are starting to grow. We've had a lot of requests for private offices. So we're just listening to the community over the past couple years and expanding to better meet the Detroit startup community's needs.
Hey, one thing I forgot to ask you when I was doing the interview for MI Tech News was you did a pop-up in East Detroit somewhere. I don't know if that's still going on, or how did that work out?
It's going on through November, and then we're going to see what we're doing there next. But it's going pretty well. We've got lots of people coming out to events, a little bit less co-working over there on the east side, but it's inside MASH Detroit, which is this funky artsy space, locally owned. But yeah, there's a lot of interest in events and networking all over Detroit. So it's fun to like, we kind of see ourselves having a hub downtown, which is this new sort of expansion we're doing, and then maybe some microsites out in neighborhoods or in other locations to keep everybody connected.
Yeah, sounds great. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have in studio, you may have heard coming in before, we have Tim Boucher here along with Tatiana Grant, who calls herself, what was it you called that?
Co-founding sisters.
Co-founding sisters. I love that. Yeah, so I wanted to let them.
And we're also members of Bamboo.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how's
I love
that?
It. Yes, we're co-founding sisters.
Co-founding sisters. I'm going to write that one down. Come on. Get that URL, right? So, all right. So how's it? How? Let me put you on the spot here. We're working in Bamboo with this taskmaster, Amanda Luan. No, she's not taskmaster. But anyway, how is it working in Bamboo?
It is amazing. Actually, that's where we, you know, that's where we work out of. So that's where we send all of our interviewees. You know, it's a great community there. You know, whether it's in between meetings, the other co-founders will come talk to us, ask us where we need help, things of that sort. So it's a very close-knit, you know, group of startup founders.
So you'd highly recommend it, right? You're not getting paid to say this, right?
I am not getting paid to say this, no.
All right, just want to make sure.
No, this was a coincidence.
And then we also have, Timber, have you worked with Amanda in the program, in Engage program?
Yeah, absolutely. So Tatiana and Amanda, we're just in this recent graduated class of Masterclass. And you know what? It's been so great to see Amanda's growth. And I mean, everyone in the class has really grown a lot in the 8-month class. And the new space is going to be amazing. And it's a great field. They have a lot of events there. We participate. A lot of other entrepreneurs participate. And it just really feels really good space. Very good vibes. Just a great place to work.
So the demand.
Yeah, I think when I first joined the master's class, we were like, oh, our big goal is to expand this year. And so all through the class, we got to work on and get support each step of the way until we officially signed our lease and did our launch announcement, which was just this past week. So it was really great to have that like ongoing support all through. You think you have an idea and like you've got to start, but there's still a lot of things along the way. I don't think people realize how challenging it can be. Especially opening like a physical place. You have leases, you have insurance, you have funding and construction and all of these moving pieces. So it was just really great to get the support.
And Amanda's done this at the ancient age of 28, right? So
yeah, I just turned 28. So
demand for the space is strong. I mean, there's enough people starting their own businesses that need this kind of atmosphere, huh?
Yeah, we actually reviewed all our numbers, and about 30% of people have grown out of Bamboo since we first opened. And most of them just because they needed more private space, few because they got jobs. We kind of tend to be a good landing zone for people who are like exploring maybe starting up or maybe getting another job. But we're excited. And the building is really historic. It's named after the Julian C. Madison building, named after the Madison family, which is the first and the third African-American engineer in the state of Ohio. So it's locally owned. It has its own history of being innovative and trailblazers in their own industry. So we're really excited to hopefully, you know, welcome more people into that sort of creative mentality of being able to break down barriers and start new companies.
Are you gonna,
and there's also a beautiful event space on the top floor. So we can do bigger events and more networking. We just would love to hear from others on what they'd like to see downtown to help just grow the startup community in general.
Are you planning on keeping the Brush Street office open, or what are you going to do with that?
For now, yeah. We think we're going to have a couple startups who have grown, and that may not, the next location might be too small. So we're looking for bigger tenants who want to help take over Brush Street, but they'd still be part of the startup family.
So you said this latest one has more options for people who want just a bit more privacy. Is that something you're seeing as a trend?
Yeah, I think, most people come into Bamboo, they're individuals or small teams. Some of them end up growing into bigger offices. So we're going to have team offices for about 4 to 5 people. And individual offices, privacy for like investors, accountants, lawyers. We want to have all different kind of service providers on hand all the time to help the startup community. I think co-working is like a really great launch pad. You can quickly add people and there's tons of space to still work and collaborate. Whether you need a private office to be like your central zone or the open co-working. And then we love the building we're in because there is more room to expand. There's more office space available right now. So we're hoping even more startups who start to grow can grow in that entire building, you know? Hmm. Okay. And it builds this sort of like hub atmosphere where you've got a bank on the bottom floor, you've got an event space on the top floor, and tons of offices and startups working on every floor, you know? So I think it'll be really fun.
Amanda, this is Tember. I have a quick question for you. So with all of this great new exciting things in the new space coming open, what do you think the next big milestone for you and Bamboo is?
Well, the milestone I wrote down was I want to reach 1,000 members. That's what I wrote down at the end of our class after signing the lease and opening. And so that would be our next big goal. But other than that, I think what I want to see in 2017 is stepping up our programming. So we hear a lot about people who are looking for jobs, like who maybe don't know that there's great companies like Flash Delivery that are growing and hiring. So there is a lot of talent interested in working in Detroit and working at startups, but they don't always easily find it. And funding is something we always hear. So I think what we'd love to do in the new building in 2017 is bigger events that just better grow the greater community around us.
Then after that, there'll be the Amanda Luan building somewhere downtown, right? So
No. No, not at all.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's so, definitely not about me. It's always about people like Tatiana and all of the inspiring people who work outside of our space. And it's really tough. It's really tough being an entrepreneur and a creative. And I think having that support around you every day is really helpful, and it gets people over the finish line.
Well, what I find inspiring about you is that you started out more or less as a blogger, you know, and now look what's happened. Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know personally that I wanted to be an entrepreneur until I kind of just got surrounded by it. And, you know, I've always had something inside of me that I knew I wanted to lead and help others. And I think I just found a good outlet for it.
And you also have some of your partners that are really helping out in the expansion. I know Rocket Fibers is helping out. And I know on your press release, I don't have it right in front of me, there was a couple other partners helping out, right?
Yes. So one of our very first members, his name is Justin Morlock. He started an interior design company, Next Design. And so now he gets to help design the new space. He's been really, really great and helpful. And then we also have Right Size Facilities, which is our furniture partner for the new space.
And then Rocket Fiber is bringing in their gigabit service, right? Something like that?
Yeah, Rocket Fiber is in the building, so we'll have gigabit internet for all of the tech companies, which you think might not matter, but it really does. It's 1,000 up and 1,000 down. So if you're uploading files, if you're live streaming, if you're doing video conference calls, and having 20, 30 people in the space, everyone will have a really good internet experience. So it'll be good.
Well, MI Tech News moving into video. I'll have to sit down with you one of these days and work something out on that so we can do some live streaming video news from there for the audience.
That would be really awesome. We'd love to do that.
So you're leaning forward, Tember. You have something you wanted to say?
One question I have is, does Flash Delivery deliver to Bamboo?
Oh. Flash Delivery does deliver to Bamboo. Over the weekend, we had quite a few deliveries to some of the other companies as well as ourselves because we had some long days of interviews.
Also, there's tons of – so where we're going to be at Washington Boulevard, there's lots of new residential units coming online. So I'm sure tons of people living downtown love having the option to order food. Now that we're heading into winter, too, no one wants to go out.
Exactly.
Windsor, too. You're going international then?
No, I think she said winter.
Oh, winter. I thought she said Windsor.
Yeah, winter.
Sorry about that.
Winter is coming.
Well, it's just a suburb of Detroit anyway, right? You know, so.
Yes, the South Detroit.
The South Detroit, yes, from that song, right, yeah. Right. I found out that story on that was the guy from Journey had a girlfriend in Windsor, and that's where the South Detroit came from.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just thought it was because Downriver didn't fit.
No. He had this thing for this woman in Windsor, you know.
Ah,
so.
Okay.
Steve Perry. But we got about a minute left, so we probably should thank everybody that's been on the show today. What do you think?
Yep, that sounds good. Thanks, Amanda Luan, once again from Bamboo Detroit and a half a dozen other things. Thanks to Tember Shea from Inforum and Tatiana Grant. I would wish you luck, but I suspect you won't need it. You're doing really well.
And next time she comes, she can bring food, right?
That's
yes,
right.
I
yeah.
will.
Okay. Keith Brophy and the fellow from Hygenesis, whose name I'm now blanking
Rob,
on, of course.
I can't Rob. Recall his last name either. But,
okay, but it is hygenesis.com, H-Y and then Genesis,
yes.
Like the book. And they have have a really interesting new wrinkle in keeping things clean and germ-free. And then, of course, our first guest today from my employer, Lawrence Technological University, Sabrina Collins of the Marburger STEM Center. And she was talking about, you know, we didn't really talk about it, but there is a looming shortage of STEM workers in some fields in this country. And
some fields. Really, I think it's just about all fields.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And yeah, especially computer stuff, cybersecurity, all that stuff.
Right.
We need to train more. You get more kids interested in that. You can't all be rappers and basketball stars, kids. You know, you got to think more practically. So.
And now we got to get out of here because the Lions show is coming in behind us and they actually won yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They're just winning streak. So they're excited.
They're just. They're just getting our hopes up, but hopefully, hey, you never know.
But anyway, this is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch, and you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.